Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm just trying to be a legend, you know, trying to be one of the best to do it coming out of my hometown. I knew, like, at heart, I was a defensive player. And, like, my mentality on the field, I was always a physical player, even at receiver. I'm a dog. I'm a competitor. You know, I want to be great. And whatever team picks me, I'm going to prove them right. You know, I'm going to make them proud for sure.
Welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. So make sure you subscribe and turn on your alerts so you can get the show right away. Pat P, I know we got another great episode, but what are we going to cover on this show?
Hey, yo, Matt, we got plenty to cover, and we also have plenty of seminoles on our episode. We have talked to, I think, one Gator in the recent episode.
No question.
We never talked to anybody from the U. One of my favorite schools growing up, but we got our guy, Gregory Russo, on the show today. NFL, outstanding NFL prospect as our NFL series continue. Stay tuned.
Doom, 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 doom. Y'all know what time it is. First quarter of the show. This is where we chop everything up. Over the last few weeks, we've been taking you inside the draft prospects of some of the top prospects that will be available in this year's NFL draft. And later in the show, make sure you guys stay tuned. You don't want to miss this great conversation we will have with Greg Russo, talking about some of the teams he's feeling excited about that potentially could draft him. It could be your favorite team, or it could be a team that you hate. But regardless, you definitely want to hear what he has to say about where he could potentially go in this year's draft. We believe he will be a first rounder. He also believes that as well. So make sure you stay tuned. But on this episode of Chopping It Up, we want to focus on detail the interview process, some of the things that you had to do to get your body ready, some of the things you had to do to get your mind ready. All of that, it goes into the entire bowl when you're trying to put together a nice dish. So Pat P, your dish was unbelievable because you went extremely high. But your pre-draft process, when you talk about the interview process, we've been hearing some of the stories from former prospects, the weird questions, the unexpected questions. For you, when you were getting ready for the draft, did you encounter any weird questions?
Man, I encounter a ton of weird questions.
Really?
And the weirdest question of them all was from the Cincinnati Bengals. And I have I won't necessarily say a great relationship with Coach Marvin Lewis, but you know, I run into him every now and then on the golf course. Mm-hmm. And they asked me, what is the difference between a pencil and a pen?
Pencil has lead, pen has ink.
I thought that was the most bizarre question I've ever been asked to answer before. I was like, what? Are you serious right now?
But you can erase a pencil, you can, like, what?
How much further you want me to elaborate? Like you said, you can't erase a pencil. A pen is ink. A pencil is lead. I mean, what else more do you want me to say? A pen is more. I mean, you can erase a pen, but it's more permanent. Than a pencil. I didn't know how much more they wanted me to elaborate on what's the difference between a pencil and a pen.
But that makes sense. That's Cincinnati. Oh, that's Cincinnati for you. It makes sense. Pat B, I know you've said before that the Cardinals, you never spoke to the Cardinals extensively, right?
Yep.
When you talk about the reoccurring conversations with one organization. So I would say it's safe to say you didn't expect to get drafted to AZ. Team did you think you were going to go to?
I thought I was going to Houston. I thought I was going to Houston or who was the second? Denver. So I thought I was going to Houston and Denver because I had the most interactions with them.
Mm-hmm. And Denver had the number two pick. Yes. And Houston had, they were outside the top 10 because they took JJ. Yeah. I mean, yeah, TJ. They took TJ.
No.
Houston were 11.
No, they took JJ Watt.
Yeah, my bad. They took JJ, not TJ.
I can't remember the GM name at the time, but he was a brother. He
was like, I think it's Rick. Was it Rick Smith?
Yeah, it was Rick. So yeah. Rick was like, man, we really love you. We love everything that you do. I think they had just drafted Kareem Jackson
the year before.
They wanted him to be the nickel. They had Jonathan Joseph already. They wanted to add me. I can't even think of the safeties they had. Shucks. But they had he ended up going to Denver. I can't think of his name right now.
Safety that went to Denver from Houston.
Yeah. I can't think of his name right now, but he was with, I think right before Vance Joseph got there, because Vance got there in like 2013, if I'm not mistaken. But I thought I was going to those two teams. But the only interaction I had with Arizona was with your former teammate, Deshae Townsend, who was end up being my corners coach.
Yep.
And that was the only interaction that I had with them. And that was in the, what they call like the, I can't remember what they call it. It's like, almost like a car wash when you go into this big room and all 32 teams are there and their representatives, and you kind of just walk around. They kind of pick you, you know, if they want to talk to you or whatever. So that was the only interaction. I didn't have no draft meeting with them. I didn't have no work or no private workout with them. Oh, San Fran. I thought San Fran was going to get me too, because I had two private workouts with San Fran at the time. I had no private workouts with them. I didn't even know Arizona area code. That's how shocked I was when they called me. I was like, 602?
Yeah, you know who that was. You probably thought it was Mississippi or something like that.
And you was at the table with me. I'm like, 602? Who the heck is that? And it was Coach Ken Wisenhunt, man.
Wisenhunt.
Yeah, wow. That's where I started my career, man.
And San Francisco, they took Alden Smith at number 7.
Yep.
So Denver took Vaughn 2. San Fran took Alden 7. Houston, JJ at 11.
Yep.
Wow. I wonder how the fan bases for those teams here, knowing that, you know, their team actually was high on you.
Yeah. And Cincinnati was in there too. But, and that's honestly why I made that decision to go to Minnesota, because Zim was the DC at the time.
At Cincinnati. And
they had, Leon Hall. And I can't think of the other corners that they had there at the time.
Leon
Pac-Man
Hall.
Jones may have been there right when I think they may have drafted him. I mean, picked him up after I got drafted, because we played against them.
Because Jonathan Joseph was gone already.
Oh, so yeah, exactly. So that's why they was high on me as well. And man, Zim, you know, just
y'all hit it off.
Pick his brain. Yeah, being able to pick his brain, obviously seeing his resume, just being able to talk to him and just seeing his mentality, how he liked to play football, how he liked to attack offenses on Sundays. I was like, yeah, this could fit right into my, you know, my wheelhouse. And he loved playing man-to-man. He loved being aggressive. Like, that's what I want to be a part of. And I thought I had a shot in Cincinnati as well, but they ended up taking AJ Green.
That's funny. That played a big part in your free agent decision. Those conversations you had with Zim then that you remembered.
Like you know, Matt, you know, you want to put yourself in the best situation possible. You know, you want to put yourself in a situation where you think you can thrive. And I felt like, you know, being in this system, having the dogs that they have on the front seven, having the defensive mind that Zim has, you know, and also the resume that he has, I was like, this is like a match made in heaven. You know, the guys that he was able to, you know, to be able to further their career, the guys he was able to help, you know, brighten their career, like the Xavier Rhodes, et cetera. I was like, yeah, this might be, the perfect match for me. If it wasn't Tampa, you know, I wanted to go somewhere where, you know, I knew the system. I knew that they will do something tailored to my game that I'm good at, you know, so that's why I feel like Minnesota was, the perfect match for me.
Yeah. I know, talking about the questions, crazy question. I had Chicago asked, which food do I like better? Microwave food that comes out of microwave, or food that's cooked?
Oven.
And I'm like, what you mean? What is that? That doesn't mean microwave food. Like,
what you telling, man? I hope you didn't tell them microwave food.
I mean, I say the only thing I really like, if I had to choose either or, coming out of the microwave or coming off a stove, is the cup of noodles. You know what I mean? Where you put the water in.
Them Roman things taste noodles. Real.
Them Roman noodles. When you put them in that cup, you got to make sure you don't put too much water, because it's going to overflow in the microwave. You got to clean the microwave.
So now you feel like a chef now, so you know how to the no right question. Amount of water.
You can't hit the line. You got to go a little bit below the line.
They tell you where to put the water at, Matt.
Man, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I've had many experiences when I went at the line and the water overflows in the microwave. But yeah, Chicago asked me that question, like what, like which food you prefer? Microwavable food or food out of the stove, oven?
Like, hey man, I like my food off the stove, man. It's fresher.
I thought it was a trick question. I said, are we talking as an adult or are we talking as a child? Like where are we going? Like,
hey, that's a valid comeback though, cause you're right. Cause as a child, you can pop that thing in the oven at any time. I don't give a dang on what it is. Man, but when you get older, you're like, man, that's a little tough, man. I need that thing a little bit more moist, man. I need to throw that thing in the oven on top of the stove.
No question. No, you're a child, man. You like anything out of the microwave because it happens fast. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. It might not taste as good, but you don't care at that time. You're just trying to get on through.
Hey, as long as that belly got full.
No question. I know you guys are ready. It's the second quarter of our show, and usually we jump right into Has Pat Heard. Don't worry, it's coming, but we're going to make you wait. That's what I call a tease. Also, stay with us. We got Greg Russo joining us after halftime. Quality, entertaining, informative conversation, so make sure you stay tuned and stick with us for that. But right now, before we get to Has Pat Heard, we're going to jump and talk about some other topics that has surfaced throughout the sporting world here, especially with the NFL. J.C. Treader and the union, they're urging players to boycott in-person OTAs and mini camps. Pat P, they're trying to urge you guys to boycott any in-person OTAs and mini camps. So what that means is don't show up for anything until it's time to get to training camp. Because last year, remember everything happened virtually because they had to.
Now, did we not have minicamp last year?
No, y'all didn't have minicamp last year. Everything was virtual.
I'm with that plan, man.
Oh, you with that plan?
No doubt about it.
Oh, so you all in?
Man, more time with the family. Because you think about it, man. The guys who just won the Super Bowl, they've been off football in February. Yep. We normally start back up April. That's 2.5 months off. That's no time for them to really be. Because at the end of the day, like Chris talked about, we're dads. You don't want to be no third string dad when you're a starter on the football field.
Yep.
So I think we need to have more time with our kids, with our family, with our loved ones, because the good players, they put so much time into it during the season to where, you know, like my wife, you know, my wife is great at it because, you know, in the season, it's just all business. It's strictly football. Nothing else matters, but me being in a position to be the best player that I can be. And so you telling me that I only can give my loved ones 3 months out of the off season for my full attention. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I feel like this year it was, I can't tell you the statistic on the injury, but I didn't see no production drop off from anybody. I didn't see, you know, although I think it's prominent for the young guys who getting drafted, of course, but for the guys who's been into the league or guys who's trying to make their way into the league or the rookies, I think those are the guys that should be able to, you know, if possible, get the extra training or the in-person stuff. you know, because I just think that now with me being older and now with me having family, now with me having kids, yes, I love my job, but at some point, you know, I am a full-time dad. You know what I mean? So I want to be able to take my kids to school, not for no, you know, 3.5 months, you know, 2 months. I want to be able to enjoy my off season because the guys who really truly love the game, when they're in the game, that's all that matters.
Yeah. I got a quote from your former coach. Thoughts from February. If we lose the spring, young players are not getting developed. And he said the veterans love that because that means they don't get to take their jobs. That's what BA is saying. Of course, coaches are not in agreement with that. In other news, not football related, but golf related. Last weekend, it was a big, big event in Augusta. The Masters. Mm-hmm. The Masters took place. Hideki Matsuyama wins the Masters. Takeaway from Augusta. Number one, how surprised were you seeing Hideki win the Masters? And you predicted Dustin Johnson, DJ, to win.
Dustin and Brooks didn't, they missed the cut. So what were your thoughts coming from the Masters?
You know, I wasn't surprised to see Hideki win. Hideki has always been a solid player. I've seen him, you know, play over the last 3 years, just a very smooth, compact swing, just very in control of his golf game, you know, and for, to see what he was able to do around the golf course at Augusta was remarkable because the course played so hard and the greens were so firm and he just made it look like it was just a pitch and chip contest, you know, minus, I think it was 16 that he took the bogey on. Maybe it was 15. I can't remember. It was on the back nine though. I can't remember the exact hole, but he kind of misjudged a little bit and ended up taking a bogey on that hole. But for the most part, he was in control of that whole tournament. So I was not sure. I was not surprised at all that he won it because he won before, you know, he did it in this fashion that he won here. In Augusta, because I believe it was 2019 or 20 when he won the waste management. You know, I had an opportunity to watch him play out here in Phoenix and see him, you know, strike the ball around the course and pretty much play mistake-free golf. And he pretty much did the same thing there at Augusta. It was unbelievable to watch. And congratulations to Japan for having the first – Japan-born Augusta National champion.
Yeah, first Japanese male to win a major championship.
Right, and this is not a joke. And I know Sergio made a joke of this a couple years ago with Tiger, you know, saying the fried chicken. But it's going to be interesting to see what Hideki choose for his first dinner when he goes back to Augusta as the returning champion. So I can't wait to see that menu. With a deck, because I, for me,
what would be your first? Yeah, what would be your first?
No, you saying if I was a deck, or if it was me choosing,
if it was you, it's you.
Oh, if it was me, man, Mac, I need me some Salisbury steak, mashed potatoes, green. Yeah, that's cornbread. Hey, matter of fact, to top it all off, man, I need me some fried okra too, man.
You said Salisbury steak. Well, you went back old school, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, and that Salisbury steak used to come through in the clutch.
Hey, man, rest in peace to my late grandma, Margaret Peterson. She used to come through with that Salisbury steak.
Hey, I already know you. With that fried okra, you already know where you got that from.
You already know.
That's straight South Carolina right there.
And another side note with my grandma, man. I never forget, man. I used to love these gizzards growing up, right?
Them gizzards.
Yeah, and my grandpa used to eat gizzards too, but, you know, as my grandpa got older, he started losing his teeth. Mm-hmm. So my grandma, to make it act like he was still eating gizzards, she fried, I can't remember what liver it was. I think maybe it was
chicken liver.
And Mac, I came into the house right fresh out of Ely. I think I'm in the my sophomore year in high school. I'm like, oh man, grandma done cooked some fresh gizzard. They hot.
It's actually liver.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Fresh gizzard. You know, gizzard are a little tough. You got to chew them.
It's harder. Yeah. You fried gizzards. So it's tough.
You going straight through that thing.
No question. That's the thing I like about the liver. It's easier.
Man, I ain't like that, Mac.
But them chicken, that chicken gizzard, you got to be chewing. You know, Mac, if you don't chew good enough, you swallow it, man, you might feel like you got stuck.
Hey, Mac, I got to adjust my thing up all nice, man. Ketchup, my hot sauce.
Yes,
my mustard.
Sir.
I'm all set.
You put mustard on your gizzard?
Yeah, man.
I do ketchup.
I like that tang, man. So I put a little mustard, just a little bit. Man, I bit into that thing. I almost bit my tongue because, you know, I'm expecting
the toughness.
I'm preparing myself for the gizzards because, like you said, it's tougher.
Yeah.
Man, I went straight through that thing on liver, man. I said, Margaret! What is this?
Hey, and Aunt Margaret used to give you whatever you want, boy. She had you. She had you spoiled. Whatever you wanted to eat, whatever.
That's the top off the story. You know what she did? Because, you know, what's Omar, the corner store used to sell the gizzard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, baby. I got $1.25 for you right here to get you a medium gizzard.
No question, man. Good times, man. You know Aunt Margaret and Uncle B used to have the storehouse.
Man, they had it all.
That storehouse. Listen,
we was never hungry at 7-Eleven, man.
No question. I had everything. Chips, the hot sausage, the salt and vinegar potato chips.
It had it all. Lily Dillies. I had it all, man.
Yes, sir. Good times. Some sad news we'd like to mention real quick. The legendary, iconic entertainer, actor, DMX passed away this past weekend at the age of 50. DMX was very, very influential, not just in the rap game, but the sporting world as well. I listened to a lot of DMX songs when I was a youngster, getting ready for football games, playing little league football, playing high school football. Mostly playing high school football. I'm sorry. But DMX, man, he impacted a lot of people. When you think about DMX, Pat P, I think, you know, there's so many things you can highlight. So smart, you know what I mean? So talented. But DMX had a way with words. And I think me personally, one of my favorite songs with DMX, his Dark, Hell is Hot album, that 1-2, that intro. I mean, when you hear that intro, doom, doom. Bro. Doom, 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 doom. Like, you play that in any arena, any stadium, or if you in the locker room getting ready to put that tape on your wrist, you know, putting that eye black under your eye, you know, putting your shoulder pads on. When you hear that, that takes you to a whole nother place. Like, right now, whoever's watching us or listening to us, go listen to that 1-2 while you clean the house. I bet you clean the house a little different. Yeah. You got a little edge. Go listen to that 1-2 when you're on the treadmill, you're taking a lap or running around the neighborhood. You got a little edge. But that 1-2 for me, man, Pat P, man, I hear that right now, man. Just the intro. It's like, it's time to go to war. I mean, I don't know, not necessarily saying war, but whatever it is you got to go do, that gives you a little added boost. Most definitely. So our condolences to DMX, his family, and anybody associated with him, Rough Riders, Swiss Beats. One thing I can say, the verses, and we talked about the verses before in our show, with Master P, with Fabulous, you know, the entertainers that we had, and they were all saying how big and how monumental that experience has been. And one of the more recent verses that we saw some months ago involved DMX and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that definitely was huge. You know, Pat P, is there any song that you can think of when you think about DMX that kind of hit home for you?
DMX is, I mean, he's just a legend. I mean, I like that song with him and, what is it? The Money, Power, Respect.
Mm-hmm. Locks.
Locks. He was in that joint. What's My Name?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a banger that just get that blood hot. You know what I mean?
What do you really want from me?
I mean, X got so many anthems though. You know what I mean? It was just monumental just to, you know what I mean? Just hear those songs. Like you said, while you getting your finger wrapped up, you just kind of feel the energy, the passion that they're putting into that song. And it's kind of feeding through you as well.
No question.
So it was like, man, it was definitely like when you heard a DMX song, get ready for a game, you was definitely ready to run through a wall.
Fire.
Slipping.
Up.
Slipping was another classic.
Slipping, falling. Can't get up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he got a bunch of hits that, you know, definitely in my younger days, like my first 2 years in the league, especially in college.
Yeah.
I used to listen to a ton of DMX. Cause you know, in college, you know, I don't know what it was in college. You just felt different. Like, it was a different type of hype in college. Like the adrenaline was just different in college. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was because of the real tradition behind the institutions that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're trying to get to where we end up accomplishing our goals. I don't know what it was, but just in college, just the atmosphere, the intensity level was just totally different. So when you heard one of those DMX songs, Mystical, you know, all those artists in that time that had like, you know, some real stuff that we can relate to,
mm-hmm.
it was like you felt that, you know what I mean? So it was definitely a joy to be able to grow up and listen to DMX for sure.
No question. His music will live forever. Condolences to DMX's family, anyone who's associated with him.
Right.
Now, the tease is over. It's time to get to it. Has Pat heard? Boy, I think we got him right now.
I'm going on the beat, baby.
Hey, has Pat heard? So for the new listeners and new viewers tuning in for the very, very first time, number one, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to fulfill your eyes and fulfill your ears. But this section of our show, we decided to implement because during the offseason, Pat moves around a lot. And when he's moving around playing golf, he's not really listening to what's going on in the sporting world. So we want to kind of test this gangster, to say the least. Right now, his overall record, he's 17 of 26, meaning out of 26 questions, he's gotten 17 right. He only got one wrong last week. He was 3 of 4 last week. Let's see if Pat P can get them all right. I think we got three questions for you. Number one, have you heard Julian Edelman retired?
Actually,
is it yes or no?
I did not hear that, but I saw something on Adam Scheffler. I was rolling up on my Instagram and I saw a picture of Julian Edelman, like as his like post, but I didn't read it. So I kind of saw it.
You kind of saw it. All right, I don't know. We got to go to the committee and see what the committee says.
So I didn't read the captures, but I did see the post that Adam posted. But I did he officially retire though?
He officially retired. And I know the first thing I thought about was it's a Tampa Bay move. He might, cause he failed a physical. And that was, I guess, you know,
he messed up his knee, right?
His knee or something. Yeah. But you know, I'm thinking, man, Tom trying to get him down in that good weather. Cause you know, in hot weather, your ligaments and they warm up quicker.
The thing is though, he gonna have to stay retired this whole year.
That's the thing. I think he's done. But if he is done, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer?
No.
No, exactly.
No.
Hall of very good.
He's a good player. Expectations. Solid player.
Yeah, no solid player. But no, not Hall of Famer. No, I understand when you look at his numbers, especially in the postseason. I think he has the second most career postseason catches behind Jerry Rice. But he played with the Patriots. They played in a lot of playoff games, and he was definitely influential in those playoff games. But you can't name any time in his prime years where you would say Julian Edelman was at least in the top five receivers discussion. Man, yeah. As an individual, no. He won a Super Bowl MVP as well, but Hall of Very Good. I agree with you. Not a Hall
of Famer. He's definitely one of the guys that I would want on my team for sure.
No
tough nails. Don't catch everything. You know, the crazy thing about Julian too is, you know, he has very acceptable speed. You know, obviously his 40 time won't say that, but he can get behind people. He can get behind people and run away from them as well, and that's the difference between, you know, a ball player and a guy that's just good on paper.
Yep. I mean? Okay, so we got to go to the committee about that one, because, you know, he kind of gave us, I kind of saw it, but I didn't really hear it. So we got to see what the committee says.
I did not hear it. Has Pat heard, so I did not hear that.
Okay.
So
you waving a white flag.
Technically, I got it wrong.
All right, second question for you. Aaron Rodgers guest hosted Jeopardy last week.
Man, I did see that, and Aaron did an awesome job.
And he's doing it again this week as well. Might be setting up another opportunity. He's doing it again.
He might need to keep it, because the crazy thing about it, when I saw the NFL post it, when he was on there, I think it said 2012, if I'm not mistaken, he was crushing it. Hearing the background behind it of him, like, you know, wanting to have this job one day, so – as you know, being a great NFL player, if there's something that you set your mind on, you want to be great at that too. So
yeah,
it was only, you know, hearing that story and seeing it come into fruition, it was only right that, you know, Aaron was going to be the best host that he can be on Jeopardy. And I thought he crushed it. You know,
I agree with you.
I thought he did a great job of, you know, communicating with the competitors, did a great job of interacting with the camera. I mean, I thought it all overall, it was awesome. So I definitely won't be surprised if Jeopardy host is in Aaron's future.
No question. I'm right there with you. So you got that one. The final question in, has Pat heard?
Talk to me.
I think we got him. Eric, I think we got him.
You got me.
Eddie George hired as Tennessee State head coach. Oh, you heard that one.
Saw it this morning.
You heard that one. I mean, Eddie George, as far as I know, no significant coaching experience. What are your thoughts about, you know, the thoughts of the trend with former players with limited coaching experience getting head coaching job? How do you feel about that?
I think it's big, man, because we've been in this game for a very long time. Nothing against the coaches that didn't play in this game. Nothing against them at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like we can't relate to them as players. You know, they're just going by off what they read or what somebody else taught them. They haven't really been through the experience. And I just think hiring former coaches or former players as head coaches is great for any institution, because now you have a prominent player that's, Eddie's in the Hall of Famer, you know, no, I don't think he got 2,000 rushing yards in the league, but he was.
He was definitely a big time player.
He had a couple big time rushing season. But a guy who
won the Heisman.
Won the Heisman in Ohio State.
Yeah.
So the guy who had such a promising, you know, career as a ball player, you want to have those type of guys around the kids that's trying to get to the next level.
No question.
Especially with the kids in the HBCUs.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge for the HBCU you programs, you know, with the light that they've been receiving, now continue to brighten that light with Prime, you know, doing what he's doing at Jackson State. Now you got Eddie George. And I think Eddie is trying to bring in Hugh Jackson to kind of be the OC. Really? Say, try to bring in Ray Lewis. You know, he has Jeff Fisher, like, on the advisory committee. You know what I mean? Okay. So they're doing some good things. And Dominique Rogers Cromartie was on the staff, the previous staff. So hopefully they keep him on staff as well, which would be another former player. So I have no issue with it. I think when you look at the HBCU programs and what they've been doing this season, having their season during the off season, they've been getting a lot of attention, and it's good. You know, we've highlighted quite a few HBCU individuals and then universities as well. So I'm all for it. I'm right there with you, Pat Pete.
Matt, and go back to that hiring. You obviously know, you see a lot of guys like Steve Nash, for an example, getting a lot of flack of being a first time head coach, didn't deserve the position, this, that, and the other. But you think about it. This guy had a promising career. So therefore he knows how to be a pro. He knows the proper steps to take to be successful. So why not have a guy like that in charge that been through the ranks, that been through what the players that he's coaching trying to go through? Why not have him coach him versus a guy that's been a pretty much a Pop Warner coach, pretty much raised up in the ranks and got the head coaching job or the top job or whatever, but really never had no real experience with
playing the game.
You know what I mean? So I like former players getting these gigs, because what it's going to do is it's going to make it less of an excuse of NFL hiring black and African American coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it.
Let's go. Take advantage of the opportunity. Let's see exactly what happens with Tennessee State and newly hired head coach Eddie George. Now, time for 21 questions. We're almost at halftime, but before we get to halftime, you guys know we got to go show some love to our fans, our faithful supporters. 21 questions is where we get a chance to interact with you, the fan, the listeners, and the viewers. If you want to have your question answered on the show in the future, leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we may get it to the show. This question comes from Dave Richard. What's up, Dave? Fantasy expert, by the way. Shout out to CBS Sports HQ. Dave says, hi, guys. Love the pod, by the way. Let's say a college cornerback sticks to one spot in college. What do you look for on film to know if he can handle playing other spots like nickel at the next level? So basically, Dave is asking, you know, if you see a cornerback that's only playing the outside corner, never really being involved inside the dime of the nickel, what are you looking for in his game to see if he can handle that transition on the next level, which is the NFL?
Me personally, I'm looking at how he moves. Mm-hmm. I've been a slot guy that's the most agile position on the field.
Yep.
So I want to see how he moves. I want to see what his footwork looked like. And the most important part to me is he able to locate the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If he's able to locate the ball, have good feet work, and being able to be, you know, a guy, you know, he don't have to be a smaller guy. I just need him to be agile. I want to see the way he moves against sudden changes. You know, that's the couple main points for me. And also, you got to be able to tackle being inside, because, you know, when they run the ball, you know, you're kind of like a linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got to be able to bring the thump and be able to get runners on the ground. Those, to me, are the main four things I'm looking for. You really don't need speed, because at the end of the day, the nickel position is the safest position on the field as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you have linebackers that's able to help. You got a corner that's able to help you if he's in the zone thirds. You got a safety over top of you. So if he's able to move well, and also able to think, because at the corner position, you gotta run with, at the nickel position, you gotta be able to run a lot. You gotta be able to run with motion. So, change of strength may change. So your assignment may change. So you gotta be able to think on the fly. So those are five things. I said four earlier, but those are five things that I'm looking for out of a corner in college, you know, if I'm looking for, you know, to put him in another position, if he's solely an outside guy, if I'm looking to transition him into the inside.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Lateral movement is imperative for anybody who's playing the nickel. Yeah. Your lateral movement got to be on point. If you're a big guy or a little guy, your lateral movement got to be on point. And the nickel is the one position when you're talking about being a cover guy where it's okay to be more quick than fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Cause you change of direction. You know, sometimes when you're playing the outside corner, your leverage can help you in coverage standpoint. You know what I mean? They have an extremely wide split. You line up inside.
Four, three routes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can kind of start taking away certain routes. When you play that nickel, they got a two way go on you. They got a two way go. And sometimes if they hit you with that option route where they're going to just run a route based on your leverage, you got to be able to adjust on the fly. Yep. So yeah, quickness, lateral movement, tackling. And also too, just the cerebral part, how fast you pick up on certain things, the things that we will look for if we only saw you do one thing on the collegiate level. Shout out to Dave Richard, man. Thank you for the question. Big time question. Like I said, if anybody would like to have their question, show up on our show, you know what I mean? Just leave us a 5-star review attached to your question and we'll try to get it on the show. We want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Each week, we give clues for our next guest. And the first person to guess correctly, they get a follow and they get a shout out on the pod. So we have to shout out T. Drew, who was the first to guess J.C. Horn and Asante Samuel Jr. last week. Man, T. Drew, how did you do that? Again, follow us at All Things Covered Pod for the very best content from the show. Now it's halftime for us. And like we were promising you guys throughout the show, the beginning of the show, man, we got to go put some pressure on the quarterbacks. Me and Pat P, man, we've been covering too long. It's only right that we go get one of the best pass rushing prospects that will be available in this year's draft. Greg Russo will be joining us after halftime. Stay tuned.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Yes, sir. We out of the locker room. Me and Pat P made some adjustments. Man, we told Coach, man, we need a pass rusher, man. Quarterback got too much time. He going through his third progression, his fourth progression. Man, we got to get somebody who can put some pressure on the quarterback. So Coach went in, said, you know what? Greg, you in. Greg Russo is not in the game, man. Join us here. All Things Covered. Draft prospect out of the University of Miami. Man, I don't like saying that. The University of Miami. That doesn't sound good coming out of my mouth. No, Pat. We don't say that here. We're not saying that. Miami. The University of Miami. That's the only thing I can say. All right. 2019 All ACC performer. Considered one of the best pass rushers in this upcoming draft. We'll hear his name called. Extremely fast. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram, the same name, @Greg_R5. Greg Russo, man, thank you for joining us. How you feeling?
Feeling great, man. You know, I'm blessed to be in the position that I'm in. Now I just got to keep on getting better and take it a day at a time.
Talking about the position you're currently in, man, fill the listeners and the viewers in on your draft process because you decided to opt out, didn't play one down this past season. So your draft process is safe to say started maybe in August or September. So fill us all in on your draft process and what your day-to-day routine was like and what it's like currently.
Yeah. Well, of course, I opted out. You know, I started training real early. Of course, I'll do all like the 4D stuff, but honestly, while it was like the fall and winter, at that time I was mainly just focused on like just becoming a better player. So working a lot of hands, getting my hands quicker, upping my football IQ, always working on my pad level when I'm doing drills because I'm a taller guy. So I have a tendency to get up high. And obviously, if you want to be good at football, you got to stay down low. So definitely been emphasizing that a lot. Just getting better in one part of my game every single day, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, pretty much anything, just growing as a person and as a player.
And you worked out with Chuck Smith, right? And we know he's considered one of the best technicians when it comes to pass rushers. How was that experience for you?
It was great, man. Just to pick his brain, gather some knowledge from him. You know, it's always an opportunity talking to somebody who's been in the league or even played in college, somebody who's played football and been in my shoes. So it was great to learn from him. He also taught me the cross chop technique. So it was awesome working with him. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. And so what led you to opting out? You know, obviously a lot of college players opt out over this weird pandemic year. So what was the reasoning behind you opting out this season?
A big part of it was my mom, who was a COVID nurse at the time. She was going through a lot. So being able to opt out and help her out a little bit definitely played a huge role in that. But also just the uncertainty. There wasn't really a plan set in place at the time. There was a lot of uncertainty just revolving around the season, especially the college football season. There was conferences like canceling their own season and all that stuff. So there's just a lot going on at the time.
And basically you just wanted to focus on yourself and get yourself prepared
for the season. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. But at the same time, I was super excited because playing in the league's been a dream of mine since I was a little kid. So to take that next step towards that was awesome.
And the crazy thing about it too, though, G, if you think about it, that was your first time making an executive decision. You know, because when you come into the league, it's all, you know, you're going to be on your own now. So you have to make a lot of executive decisions. So you made a early executive decision by not attending the University of Miami the last past season. But I also saw that you had LSU on your offer list. What led you to stay home in Miami?
I mean, I thought about it for sure. Like, LSU is my brother's dream school. So when I got that offer, he was like, bro, you got to go. But, like, Miami was coming at me too hard, man. Like, Miami sat me down. They had a plan for me. Like, they taught me the defense and all that. So, like, I guess because, like, the proximity to home, it's easier for them to reach me. I was at Miami way more than I could get to LSU or anything like that. So, like, the relationship we built between me and Miami, it just happened a lot quicker and it's faster than it happened for any other school.
I got you.
Yeah. In high school, you played all over the football field.
Yeah.
But, you know, they said you were real good at the wide receiver position. Yep. What led to you deciding to give up being a wide receiver to put your hand in the dirt? Because you were balling as a wide receiver. So it wasn't like you were struggling, but what led to that decision?
I'd say I realized like a trend in the offers I got. Like I got like NC State, Iowa State, West Virginia, which are big schools, but I got all of those for like receiver / safety. But like the bigger offers like Georgia, Miami, LSU, I got those for outside linebacker, edge rusher. So I thought to myself, like, man, I must project a lot better at edge rusher / DN / outside linebacker. So I was thinking like that's probably the best position for me moving on, going into the future. And it worked out.
How difficult was that transition for you? Because most wide receivers, as we all know, being defenders on this interview, most wide receivers don't like to be hit. So if you don't like to be hit, you don't like hitting people. So how was that transition from catching passes, scoring touchdowns, to now trying to hit people and sack quarterbacks? How difficult was that?
I feel like for me, since I've been playing football since I was like a young, like 7 years old in pads, I was always on defense at first. But like as I got older, I wanted to score touchdowns and stuff. So then I transitioned to wide receiver, you feel me? Because you know how it is to be scoring touchdowns in high school, all that cool stuff. But like I knew like at heart, I was a defensive player and like my mentality on the field, I was always a physical player, even at receiver. You know, I wouldn't let nobody jam me or none of that type of stuff. So, like, that was just the way I came. I looked at the game. I was never, like, a pretty boy receiver is what I'm trying to say. I was never that type of receiver. So, like, I mean, it was really a smooth transition for me. I mean, I'd use the same releases sometimes that I used on the line at receiver. Just to
kind of
a little bit. Yeah. Got to get thoughty out there sometimes.
Yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense. You got that chop or that whatever they be doing.
You
got
to dip that shoulder, baby.
Yeah, you got to dip that shoulder. It makes a lot of sense. Pat P. That had to have been his first big time executive decision to leave the wide receiver position, go play DN.
That might be it. That might definitely be it. Hey, G, me and you have something not necessarily in common, but I was a former teammate of a guy who attended the University of Miami and Calais Campbell, who was an awesome teammate.
Mm-hmm. I played with Calais as well.
Yeah, which was a giant. But we saw over the last few months ago that he showed you some love. Is there any tricks and trade, you know, with you guys having similar body types that Calais have shared with you?
I mean, he always tells me always just to keep my pads down because, like I said, we're taller guys, so we have the tendency to get up high. So he's always telling me, like, pad level. And I'd be texting him. He'd be giving me tips on just how the league is and, you know, just to get my mind right and stuff like that. So he's kind of like a mentor to me and kind of like just like that. He's like a big brother to me in terms of advice and all that type of stuff. So he's definitely somebody who'd be looking out.
Hey, G, real quick, what young guys don't do, and I can contest this because I've seen a lot of young guys grow through this. You know, Obviously, Calais has been there and he's done a lot of great things in this league. And you've been clinching on to him now. Don't let go. You know what I mean? Because Calais has been an all-pro guy. He's, you know, he's been on all-decade player. So he know how to get there. What some young guys lose is, oh, I want to be in this position, but not really paying attention to the fact that this guy is trying to help me get to that position. Yeah. So don't lose focus on that. Calais is a good man. You know, like I said, I was a teammate of his for 5 years, always mean well, and he definitely want to see you achieve all the goals that you set out for yourself. So, like I said, my advice to you, stay in his hip pocket.
No question.
Don't let your pride, you know, take over, you know, over, you know, whatever it may be. Just literally just learn. Cause that's what this game is all about. You want to learn from the guy who's done it before you. And also create it into your own. So don't lose focus with that, G, man. Like I said, Calais is a good guy. One of my favorite teammates that I ever had in the past. And he knows what he's talking about. Like I said, you guys have the same body type, same body structure. So you can definitely learn a lot from him because there's not many DNs that's 6'7". You know what I mean? So you could definitely learn, get a couple of trick and trades from my man, the sleeping giant.
For sure. Appreciate that.
Even when you start balling. Man, keep reaching out to some of the savvy vets that are around you or some of the peers that are balling. You know, the smartest people and the best people are the people that are always willing to learn from others.
Yep.
And they don't think they know it all. You know what I mean? So even the great ones can learn something new.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Man, being from Broward, an area that has so much talent, pro-like talent, man, take us through that experience because you went to high school in Hialeah, but what people don't realize, you're from Broward. You know what I mean? And we had Asante Samuel Jr. on with us last week and he said, you know, coming from Broward, it's a little different. Swag a little different, man. Talk about your upbringing before you went to high school in Hialeah, Miami and just being, you know, in that Pompano area, that Pat P is from and talk about the talent that was around you.
I mean, it's crazy, you know, like going to the NFL, like as a little kid, I'm like, man, that's like one in a million, this and that. But like growing up in Broward, you see it happen to this dude and that dude and then, It comes to be like, man, it's not impossible. You feel me? Like, obviously, I'm blessed with certain traits like height and length and all that stuff, but definitely just having that mindset, seeing it happen around you. Like, for example, I went to Monarch High School at first, and then when I was a freshman, Calvin Ridley was a senior on our team. And then when I was a freshman, Jerry Jeudy was a sophomore on our team. So I grew up with him. I played ball and played 7-on-7 with him. So just being around that, it really like, it'll bring your confidence to the next level. It'll bring your competitiveness to the next level. It just makes you want it even more seeing those guys go first round. So I'm trying to be in the same boat as those guys and be like, I'm just trying to be a legend, you know, trying to be one of the best to do it coming out of my hometown and hopefully like influence and, really just give other kids motivation growing up and seeing me do it. And then maybe they could be like, yeah, Greg did it. So I could do it too. So that's really just my goal coming from.
Hey, Pat, you know what'd be real cool? We got to get Eric on his research, man. Get his team together. We need to figure out after this year's draft, how many Broward County natives, you know what I mean? That played high school ball in Broward or from Broward have gotten drafted first round.
Hey, we up there.
Yeah. If you want to go back to the 2000s, I don't know how we would, what would be the cap off point.
Listen, I won't be afraid to say we're number one, to be honest.
But y'all know how it is. You know how the boys from Dade always, they feel like they got the best everything down there. So, you know, Dade would definitely have something to say with that, say about that. But I'm thinking off the top of my head, you know what I mean? Over the last 20 years, clearly over the last 10 years, I think Broward has been on point.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But I mean, you can go through the list of teams and there's a lot of guys that we don't realize actually from Broward, you know, yeah, they had that same recognition as well. That's the thing.
Hey, you know who I found out from Broward, man? I did not know he was, well, they say he was raised in Broward, but he went to Georgia. Tyreek Hill,
yeah.
I did not know that.
From Lauderdale, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So he was raised in Fort Lauderdale up until he was 7 years old, I'm guessing, but then he moved to Georgia. And that's where he lived the remainder of his life. I did not know he was a Broward County native.
Tyreek got a little bit of both, best of both worlds, Florida football and Georgia football.
No doubt about it.
Yes, sir. Yes,
hey, G, with us having the mindset that we have been from Broward, how do you evaluate your pro day? Because to me, I thought you had pretty good numbers. Obviously, 6'6", 266. You ran a 4.68 in the 40. 30-inch bird, 21 bench press, 9 feet, 7 inches
some numbers.
Broad jump, 11 inches on your in your hands, 83 wingspan. How do you evaluate your pro day, seeing all those numbers and after your performance?
Yeah, I feel like it was it's a blessing to be out there to compete one last time in my school, and also they welcomed me in a great way. Like for someone who opted out, you know, they still got a lot of love for me and vice versa.
That's good.
It was great to be back there for sure. I feel like I compete. I feel like I had a solid day. I feel like I could have done a couple of things better, but it is what it is. And at the end of the day, you know, my goal, it was never like to be the best pro day player ever. It's to be a pro, you know, and to have the best career I could possibly have. So after that, I really just put it behind me in a way. And I'm just super excited to just take that next jump. I've been working on a lot more like football stuff now as well. I stopped all the 40 training, all the bench press stuff. I'm still working out, of course, but I'm just excited to start to be able to only like just work on football and conditioning and just get ready for training camp or whatever they throw at us this season.
Have asked you, you know, anything about the lack of film in the last season? Obviously, they seen you play. You had 15 and a half sacks in 2019, but obviously not playing a full season. Have any teams had any concerns about that?
Yeah, some teams will ask me, like, why should we draft you with only 1 year of experience? But what I'll tell them is that, like, at the end of the day, you can talk to people at my school. I'm a dog. I'm a competitor. You know, I want to be great. I feel like I have a really solid work ethic. And whatever team picks me, I'm going to prove them right. You know, I'm going to make them proud for sure. I'm going to prove to my teammates that I'm there for a reason, you know, that I'm not just somebody who just had it handed to them. And that, like, me, even though I may have like only played one year of college, I feel like during that 1 year, if you watch my film, I grew game by game, got better. My production went up. You know, I learned the playbook better, just the little nuances of it. You know, I feel like I was just becoming a smarter player every single game. So I also tell them, like, if you watch my film, turn my film on, you can see that I grew a lot during the year that I did play.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you played 1 year and gave them 15 and a half sacks and you didn't start until week six.
I know, right? Hey.
How did that happen? Peter Mann didn't become a consistent starter until week six.
Game, Mac. I already did the math, man.
Yeah. 15 and a half. That's what you should tell them. I only played 1 year with my hand in the dirt and dropped 15 and a half. So what do you think will happen in year three, year four?
Six games, Mac. He played
basically
six games.
It's crazy.
He started six games. He played in all 12, but he started six games.
He got a high ceiling. What MJ said, the ceiling is the roof. Remember when MJ said that? The ceiling is the roof for Greg. the ceiling is the roof. I don't know what that means, but if MJ said it, it made sense. It makes sense.
No doubt about it.
The ceiling is the roof for you, Mr. Russo.
Definitely.
Hey, talking about the draft, man, give us a little insight here. You know, we got a lot of different NFL fans that are tuning in, watching us, listening to us. Give us an insight on some of the teams you really feel like you've gotten a real good vibe from. You know, teams that you have interviewed with via Zoom or teams that were at your pro day. Are there any, you know, specific teams that you feel real good about?
There's a good amount. I feel like just name some off. I'd say the Titans. I'd say
they need a draft. They need a rusher. Bad. Okay. The Titans.
And they got a bunch of picks too.
They got a bunch of picks, but you know, he only considered, he think about the first one. He not thinking.
Oh, he's going to be in the first one. I'm just saying they got a bunch of picks.
Okay. We got the Titans. Who else?
Cowboys.
They need a rusher.
Giants. Who else? The Eagles. I talked all of them, but I get good vibes from the Eagles, Falcons, Jaguars. So I feel like there's a lot of landing spots and a lot of places I can end up at. So I'm excited. I can't wait. I don't really know who people tell me that, like, the draft is crazy and it goes either way. Like, sometimes you get picked by a team that you didn't even think likes you. So I don't know where I'm going.
That's crazy though. To go back to my draft story, I never had a conversation with the Arizona Cardinals.
I never had a conversation with the Steelers either. I didn't talk to Steelers so one time.
It's literally going to go totally opposite.
Hey, good point. Hey, I forgot about it. Right. Yeah. I thought I was going to Atlanta. Atlanta, I had a phone call with the owner and the GM on Friday before the draft. I'm down there, AJ, trying to get me some jewelry. I'm down there, AJ, trying to get me some jewelry, trying to get my little piece and chain together. I'm on the phone. I'm like, man, but he might get back in Atlanta. That might be all right. And I was like, wait a minute. Hey, I'm like, what? I'm looking at Pat. You was at my draft. You remember how hot I was? Boy, I was skillet hot, boy. Boy, I was skillet hot, boy. Oh, man, I thought, man, listen, that's the thing. Don't expect the worst. Yeah. Just to kind of take away some stress that might happen or some disappointment. Yeah. Expect the worst. When I had that phone call from Atlanta.
Expect the worst.
Hey, yeah, expect the worst. You know what I mean? Hope for the best. I literally thought I would probably go into Atlanta maybe in the late first. You know what I mean? And when that didn't happen, man, I said, man, I went to throw up all my fruit cup, man. All the little fruit I had off my dish.
The man went and hide in his room, man. I didn't want to talk to nobody.
I don't want to talk to nobody. Pat Pete boy want to aggravate me. Why you hot? Why you by yourself, man? Leave me alone, man.
I feel you, bro. I feel you.
Leave me alone. Hey, speaking of the draft, you know, Greg, you actually planned on attending the draft in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to talk about.
Unfortunately for you, Greg, you're a year too late because last year it was supposed to be in Vegas.
Vegas, I know.
Yeah, but you still want to go to Cleveland, believe
Cleveland.
Hey, that's
man,
cool.
I ain't gonna lie, man. You might be better off going to get you a spot at Fountain Blue, man.
For real?
Pat, the man want to go to Pat. You went to the draft. Pat, did you not go to the draft?
I did, but there's so many uncertainties. Like he talked about going into the college football season, man. Yeah, going to Cleveland might rain. It might be cold. Hell,
Pat, don't know if anybody gonna show up. You only saying that because it's Cleveland now. So if it was another hot city, okay, you being biased to Cleveland.
So all what right. I'm saying is he can enjoy it better in Miami with his people.
At the
go to Fountain Blue, man, G. Get the penthouse, man. Get the penthouse.
It's too late. He already told the league he's going, so he got to go. What led to that decision to go to the draft, though? What led to that decision?
really just talk to my family and stuff, talk to my agent, and they all said I should go, and they all wanted to go. But I wanted to go, too, for sure, because I feel like walking across the stage and shaking the commissioner's hand, that's like iconic, of course.
No question.
Yeah. Doing that would be dope. I'm really looking forward
to it. And I'm just talking trash. Go enjoy that. Go enjoy that moment, because it really is, because – I was in a situation to where we didn't know Will's gonna play football. So I was in a situation of Will's in the lockout in the midst of the draft.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I'm just like you. I'm like, man, that's an iconic moment. You walk across the stage. You always dreamed of that moment of your name getting called. You holding that jersey up, this, that, and other. So now I was just pulling your leg. Go enjoy that moment.
For sure.
Hey, great. When they call your name in the first round, right? When they call your name in the first round, are you going to hug Roger Goodell or are you going to give him a handshake? What you feeling?
I don't know because I asked myself the same question, Mac. I just went with the flow.
Yeah, I'm going to flow. I'm gonna just do what feels natural, bitch.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you right now,
he probably gonna reach out for a hug first. I'm just letting you know.
For sure.
If they call your name super early, you better form tackle him.
Creak my shoes all down.
You get your first fine. Get it out the way.
Yes, sir.
AG, obviously going into the next league, you know, we have a bunch of different schemes here. Do you consider yourself an outside linebacker or a 4-3 edge rusher?
Good question.
I feel like because of what I played at Miami, I feel like at first I'd be more comfortable playing the 4-3 edge position, but I feel like I could definitely grow into an outside linebacker scheme because I also had some of the same looks at Miami as well. And pretty much anywhere along the D line, because I played the zero, I played the three, I put on pass rushing downs, I played 5-9, and I dropped the coverage a couple times too. So I feel like I pretty much fit any team that's picking.
So G, my next question to you is, because I've been in the league for a long time, going on my 11th season. Mac been in the league for a very long 9 years, right, Mac?
Seven years. Yeah.
So we know some guys have preferences if they want to have their hand in the dirt, they want to be on in a 2-point stand. What is your, what is your go-to stance? What do you feel more comfortable in a 3-point or a 2-point? What do you feel your best get off is?
3-point for sure. I feel like 3-point. Yeah.
Okay.
Get off is one of the things that I've been impressed with. You got to be the first man off the ball. Last man off, the last one to get to the ball. Yeah. Being the first one off the ball, that's something that you have really perfected in your collegiate career. When you talk about, and I want to get a little technical right here, so put your coaching hat on for us, Greg. When you talk about rushing the passer, what is something that you believe is one of your go, not necessarily your go-to move, but one of your favorite moves you like to pull out of your trick bag? Is it a bull rush? Is it
third and eight, fourth quarter, 2 minutes ago? You got to get to the quarterback. What's your best?
Hey, and we in the secondary. Hey, Greg, first rounder, man, get some pressure, man. Stop playing around. That's why we draft you. What you gonna give us? What kind of move you gonna give him?
I'm gonna give you a hezzy with like a side swipe, so a double hand swipe, and I'm gonna rip under and I'm gonna get the sack.
Okay, I like that.
So you're going to give him a slight hesitation.
My hesitation inside just to get him to stop his feet and maybe stop his kick set. And then I'm going to take him around the edge but always make sure I finish with my rip. And I'm going to also keep working my hands because some people throw their two-hand slot once, but a lot of times I know in the league, the tackle's going to be way better. So I'm going to definitely throw it a couple times. I'm going to be like a windshield wiper doing it, coming across the edge. Got to.
So I was like going back again. I played in this league a very long time.
Yeah.
So you have to be, especially nowadays, you have to be very versatile. You have to be able to play left. You have to be able to play right. So do you feel like you're very versatile as a player, or you're just solely left or right guy? Do you feel your best move come off your left? You feel your best move come off the right? Like, how do you feel about that?
I feel like I could play both for sure. And I could definitely get production out of both sides. But like, I feel like there's different nuances in my game where it's like, there's some things I might do better on the right than I do on the left. Like, for example, if you're a corner, you might press better on your left with this hand first and then vice versa, like switched around. So I feel like I have kind of those, but I feel like a big part of that is knowing what you're strong at on both sides of the ball.
Right.
Okay. I like it. Last question before we transition to the superlative part of this show. You and Jalen Phillips could be the first set of defensive ends to go in the first round since 2006. Mario Williams and Manny Lawson out of North Carolina State.
Yeah.
Do you have any, and Jalen balled out this year. He actually wore your number that you wore in 2019. Do you have any regret not being able to play on the same field with Jalen? Because I was happy you opt out. Cause when y'all got Jalen Phillips, I'm like, boy, they got Greg on that D line. That might be tough, but do you have any regret not actually being able to play with Jalen?
I wouldn't say it's like a regret, but a part of me definitely wishes I did. I feel like that would have been sick.
Oh,
that
would have been
a lot of fun for sure.
No, it wouldn't have been fun for quarterbacks.
I wouldn't. Exactly. I definitely wouldn't. But I mean, yeah, I kind of wish I did play with him, but also I'm super happy to see the success that he had. And hopefully, God willing, we both go first round. That'd be an amazing experience for sure.
Hey, before I let you go on the last question, I actually had an opportunity to be recruited by Mark Richt. Can you give us any insight
on
Coach Mark?
Okay. He's really chill. He's like, he's slow talking. Like, hey, how are you doing? Like, he's a God-fearing man, but he's really a great person. You know, I learned a lot from him for sure. He's a great coach, and he was like a father figure to a lot of the kids on our team, you know, that never really had that. So I feel like he's a great guy. He works for AC Network now. I still keep in touch with him. He's somebody that's just, he's easy to root for, you know, he's an awesome dude.
Now, I will say that Mark is definitely one of the slowest talking guys I've ever met.
Definitely. But he's great, you know.
All right, we go transition to the superlative part. It's like a little 2 minute warning type situation. Not a 2 minute warning, but a 2 minute drill. No huddle. Hit you with rapid fire question, Greg, to see exactly how you adjust and still be able to get pressure on the quarterback. First question for you. Player most like you that's currently in the NFL.
Calais Campbell.
Okay. Ooh, okay. You know who I was going to say. I like the Calais Campbell comparison as well, but I was going to say Myles Garrett.
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say the same thing.
Maybe it's the same college number, but the body type, you know what I mean? Y'all resemble a lot from the body type, from the measure.
Monster, man. He's a monster. I watch him a lot on film.
No question.
Or Carlos Dunlap is a little bit heavier, but when he was in I'm talking about back in his college days.
Yeah.
You guys resembled the same body structure as well. He was an animal as well.
Yeah.
School you hate more, Florida State or Florida?
Florida State.
Why?
Florida State, I don't know. Something, actually, what they did to me, this isn't the only reason I hate them, but I went to the camp and they didn't offer me. And I was, I kind of wanted to go there just a little bit.
If they would have offered you, Would you, you know, would it, could you see yourself in that Garden and Go if they would have offered you? Like,
no,
that camp?
Hell no.
So what you, why you wanted to offer then? You would probably,
that's,
you say,
not when I was a freshman in high school.
You just wanted to offer, Pat.
That's what, but that's what I'm saying. Let's say, Greg, if they would have offered you as a freshman in high school, right, and enrolled with you the entire journey throughout high school, huh?
The answer is no, bro. It's no.
He don't want to put that on tape. He don't put that on record.
He don't want to put that on, all
put that on record. It's okay, Greg. We ain't going to tell nobody. If you want to go to Florida State, it's all right. It happens.
Oh, y'all funny.
It happens, you know. All right. Best sideline prop you've seen besides the raggedy turnover chain?
Oh, he said raggedy. Oh, yeah, he called it raggedy, G. Hey, man, your boy made that. AJ the Jeweler made
right,
that.
Right. My bad, AJ. My bad. It ain't raggedy, but...
I say the backpack is the worst, but I say the second best is the
what
Georgia Bulldog turnovers.
They got the shoulder pads, right, with the spikes.
That was fire.
Yeah, that's fire.
Yeah, that is fire.
Right there. And we don't got no more backpack. That backpack is long gone. That's disco dead.
I hope so.
Yeah, the backpack gone. That backpack gone.
I got one more for you, man. Your best sack celebration.
Ooh. That sack celebration.
You better start working on it.
Yeah, I know. I need to start working on it. But Florida State, I was waving at the crowd the whole game after I got my sacks.
That was just like, see you later, bye-bye.
It's like have a great night, you know. Thanks for coming out. But we just put the beat down. We had to. We had to do it to them.
What? We're not going to have this part of the show. We're going to cut that out. Edit that out, Eric. Don't you put that in there. Hey, but real talk, man, Greg, it's a pleasure, man. You great individual, high character guy. We're going to be watching the draft. Uh-huh. And outside of you being from Miami, I'm going to root for you to go into a good situation and get high. Get drafted high, man. So thank you for joining us here. All things covered. You did well in the superlative part. You got two pressures and a sack and a forced fumble. We won the ball game. Yeah. But appreciate you joining us here, man. All things covered, man. Best of luck to you and your family and whatever organization draft you. They got it. They getting a Pro Bowler.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. God bless. Yes, appreciate y'all reaching out and having me. Thank you.
Thanks again to Gregory Russo, and thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back soon where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.